Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go to the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder, in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Daryl.
Good morning, guys.
We have people calling in about pants and D-pants. I'll ask you that at the end of the interview. All right, what'd you think of the Browns' performance overall, buddy?
Win's win. We're going to complain about a 20-point victory. The offense, they have some work to do. If they play like that over the next 5 weeks, I don't know how many games they're actually going to win. They got to get it together. But it was good enough to handle the Jets rather easily, and so we'll take it.
I actually think it's going to be a little bit more difficult for Baker Mayfield now because Greg Williams knows Baker Mayfield well, regardless. And I think that it's going to be a better defense with the Rams and a better defense in the next couple of places. You got five 2-0 teams you're taking on here. I think that they're going to probably look to emulate what Greg Williams did with better players going up against Baker. So he's going to have to go through a gauntlet here now.
Yeah, absolutely. The next five games against the Rams, obviously, coming up on Sunday Night Football. Then they've got trips to Baltimore and San Francisco, come home to face Seattle, have the bye week, and then the Patriots. All five of those teams are 2-0. And so that's not to say that those games aren't winnable. The Browns have the talent to beat anyone in the National Football League, but what we have seen on the offensive side of the ball has just, it's not been pretty. It's been ugly to watch. Statistically, when you look at Mayfield's numbers, everything looks okay. But when you go back and you actually watch the games, I mean, they sustained two drives. Their first drive, 11 plays. Their final drive, 9 plays. The other 10 possessions were 6 plays or fewer. And they didn't get a lot of yardage. So they've got some things that they really need to work on. As Freddie Kitchens said in the locker room post-game, that you'd rather work on those things coming off a victory than a loss, and that's the position the Browns find themselves in.
Yo, Ryder, join us on the hotline. Let's talk about Baker. He's a little bit off, just a little bit off. I think anybody who watched Baker last year take the league by storm, especially the last 8 games of the year, they talked about his accuracy. And so far through 2 games, he's definitely been off. Do you think it has something to do with the wrist? We've had some people mention that. I know Baker's not going to use it as an excuse. Or do you think he's just a little off right now?
Yeah, he does look a little off, and he still threw for 325 yards. And that, again, speaks to his talent that, you know, he didn't have a perfect game, did not look like himself, and yet, you know, statistically, he seemed to do very well. I'll also say, you know, part of the reason he might be off a little bit last night, the Jets were awful handsy and physical with the Browns receivers, especially Odell, and not a lot of flags were thrown. And I do have a little problem with that. You got to call the game the right way. You know, the one deep ball that he sailed over Odell's head. I mean, they were just grabbing and turning and twisting Beckham all the way down the field, and there wasn't a penalty. And I don't understand that. But Baker, I don't know what's going on as far as the accuracy goes. There are times where we see it. It's pinpoint. Case in point, Odell's one-handed catch. And then other times, you know, he just doesn't appear very close on throw. So I'm not sure what's going on in that regard. Baker's obviously not going to give anything up. I don't think Freddie Kitchens is really going to give anything up, but he's going to have to play much, much better over these next 5 weeks.
Always dangerous, Daryl Ryder joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You willing to put up with a couple of penalties on Myles Garrett if you get that type of play?
Yeah, sure. You know, the roughing penalties, he's got to be a little smarter with, okay? The offsides penalties, those are a result that he's guessing the snap count. He's trying to get that split-second head start, and he's getting caught while he's doing it. So sure, if you get three sacks, I'll take a penalty or two. But he does need to play smarter football, Ken. Absolutely, no question about that. But he leads the NFL in sacks right now with 5, and that franchise record for sacks is certainly in jeopardy at the pace he's on. It'll be gone by the bye week.
Dale Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, join us on the hotline. When we talk about the Browns offense and how it is looking a little different than it did the second half of last year, what do you notice? And I know they don't have Callaway. I know they don't have Higgins right now. Njoku had to leave the game. But what are you seeing in the way the game is called that maybe makes it look a little bit differently than it did last year?
Well, the first thing is there's some curious play calls on Freddie Kitchens' part. I don't know why, when you have a running back that averages nearly 5 yards a carry on 3rd and 2, you're throwing the ball. So there's some curious play calling again. And again, the flip side of that is if they complete the pass and pick up the first down, nobody's complaining about the play calling. But the execution isn't very crisp. And is that a byproduct of them not getting any snap together in the preseason? I don't know.
Darryl,
it's
real quick,
easy Darryl, to think that.
Darryl, I think it was, because judging by the fourth quarter, I thought they were working on things in the fourth quarter. I thought that became a preseason game for them. I think that is a byproduct of that. Maybe you disagree. That's the only reason I'm throwing it out, or maybe you do.
Oh, no. And I'm certainly not looking to fight over that.
Me neither. I'm just throwing it in there.
It's a fair point. And it's easy to say that, absolutely, because they do look disjointed at times, and they've not been really able to sustain anything. And Freddie Kitchens has tried to, especially in training camp, bring as much game speed to practice as possible. But there is a difference between practice speed and game speed. And, if they're able to kind of sort this thing out and turn into the offense that we saw in the second half of the season here, they're 1-1 right now. Well, so be it. But they absolutely need to get this sorted out, because it does look very, very disjointed.
How personal was this for Myles Garrett, going back to him with him and a couple other members of this defense and Greg Williams? Because it looked like there was something to be proved yesterday, or something to be said yesterday by him.
I think it was very personal. I think it was personal for Odell Beckham Jr. as well, going back to MetLife Stadium, even though he wasn't playing the Giants, it was the Jets, but it was still that particular stadium. I think this game was very, very personal, and maybe that did lead to, not to dip into the excuse bucket here, but maybe that also was part of some of Miles' over-aggressiveness and drawing those 5 penalties, 3 of them offsides, 2 of the roughing the passer variety. They took it. You could tell just watching that game, Ken. The Browns wanted to deliver a message last night to Greg Williams, and I think at least on the defensive side of the ball, they succeeded.
We have the excuse bucket, and it's right over there by the shame bush. Darryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, join us on the
Nobody's
hotline.
In the shame bush after yesterday.
I want to know from you,
Odell,
Darryl.
Ran away from it.
Darryl, because we got to place blame somewhere. That's what we do on Sports Talk Radio. Yes. I have it no other way. The visor situation. Are we blaming Odell?
Yep.
Are we blaming the equipment people? Are we blaming Freddie Kitchens? Are we blaming the refs? Are we blaming the Jets? Who are we blaming?
Well, if in fact it is a rules violation, that's on Odell and that's on the Browns. Somebody needs to tell him, hey, you got to switch that visor out, before kickoff. And again, wasn't on the sidelines, so I don't know if anyone did that. There's always the possibility that, Odell may have told someone, have a nice night, if that was brought up to him, because he's Odell Beckham and he's going to do Odell. But, just it's little stuff like that. And I heard some of Odell's comments after the game, to ESPN, where he's like, listen, I just want this thing to be fair. I want to be able to do what everybody else in the NFL does. And I've seen other guys wear it. Bottom line, listen, if it's in the rule book that you can't wear a tinted visor, then don't go on the field wearing a tinted visor. And I'm not picking on Odell. That's just
–
those
like
are the
you
rules. Those are the rules. You got to play by the rules. You know what I'm saying? And, it goes back to what I said last week, with the whole watch situation. If you don't want the attention and you just want football questions and that, then just play by the rules. And don't do things that garner that extra attention that maybe you don't appreciate. You know what I'm saying? So I got to put some blame on Odell there, and obviously if that got by the Browns equipment staff, that's on them. They got to, you know, make sure he's got the proper equipment when he goes on the football field. Now, I will say it's a little bush league that they pulled him off the field after making the one-handed catch, and it was third and goal, critical down, and then they pull him off the field there. I didn't like that, and the ESPN showed some footage. It looked like Blake Williams mentioned it to Greg Williams. Greg Williams then mentioned it to the official. I don't know if that's exactly what happened. That's what it looked like to me. Pretty petty on Greg Williams' part, but as we know, Greg Williams certainly not above petty.
All right, let's talk special teams. Daryl, yes, I was a little concerned about a rookie punter and a rookie kicker. I thought both were sensational yesterday. I thought the coverage was sensational. I thought Jarvis was decent in punt return. You got to give it up to Prefer and the Browns special teams.
Yeah, see, I told you. There was nothing to worry about, Anthony. You,
you
were right for no reason.
You were right. At least for two games, you were right.
Yeah. So far, so good. And you know what? Not as many. They did have a penalty on a return, but, you know, not as many penalties on returns like we saw last year as well. And I think that Mike Prefer deserves some credit for that as well. But Jamie Gillen has looked really, really good. He's only had one bad punt. That was his first one against the Titans last week. He's been very good. Austin Seibert has been very good. Certainly don't want to jinx him. Made the 48-yard field goal. He's making the extra points. So far, so good on the special teams unit, which, as we know, last year was a complete disaster.
So how do they go through the process of getting ready for the Rams now, bud?
Well, hopefully they get some rest and some sleep today because they go back to work tomorrow on the practice field. And, they just – whatever is going on offensively, Ken, with the – whether you want to call it miscommunication, disjointed, inconsistency, whatever, they just got to keep working. Study the film and, you know – even if it takes some extra throws after practice or whatever, because that was a question we asked all through the preseason. You know, can you have the rhythm with guys if you're not playing in the preseason, and how does that affect Baker with Jarvis, Baker with Odell? And, you know, Baker said that he didn't have any time with Jarvis last year in the preseason. It worked out perfectly fine, and Odell kind of brushed those type of questions off. But again, as we've seen in these first weeks, this offense just – something seems to be missing here. Is it Freddie calling the plays while being the head coach? I don't have those answers right now, but they definitely have some things to work on. The good news, though, is they get to work on those things coming off a 20-point victory.
Why isn't Jannard Avery active?
It's a great question. I think I'll be honest with you. I do think it comes down to, Steve Wilks' preferences and player performance. Now, there was a question asked about him last week, Ken, about being inactive, and Freddie, you can tell with Freddie if there's an issue with a player, and I didn't get that sense. Certainly it'll get followed up on this week, but I think it just comes proof's in the pudding, and he obviously is not at the level that they want him to be active on game day.
All right, Daryl, we thank you very much for the time. We love you dearly, and we look forward to hearing your great tones again later in the week, buddy.
You got it, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.